Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we all mocked President Obama last year when he went to El Paso, Texas, and said he had implemented everything that the border security advocates wanted. He put more boots on the ground. He put more technology there. He whatever they wanted there. He even made jokes about moats with alligators. His basic point was, I've done everything you want me to security-wise, so let's move ahead with the pathway to citizenship, which other people call amnesty. And Jim, we mocked him at the time. But now we see reports that the number of illegals coming into this country is declining. Of course, now that we take off the cynical edge to this, it's because that the economy is so bad that even illegals don't want to come to this country anymore because there aren't enough jobs here. And so those numbers are coming down. So, Mr. President, when the numbers are bad, even for the people not coming to this country legally and are willing to work the most menial jobs possible, those jobs aren't available. That means that things aren't looking so good, which means they might look pretty good for someone with a different vision, like, I don't know, the Republican nominee.
Yeah, Greg, we really should give President Obama credit, I think. As they're saying, this is the first year that more Mexicans will leave the United States than will enter the United States. So who knew? During all the great intense immigration debates of the later years of the Bush administration, all we needed to do to solve the problem of illegal immigration was tank our economy so that there were no more jobs left. That's all it took. It was a very simple item. Now, look, if you are like me, someone who believes that before we contemplate anything regarding folks who are here illegally, some who may be here and may be doing, you know, terrible things like crime, some who may be trying to live their version of the American dream and violated laws in the process, the first thing you need to do is border security. And I'm one of those guys who believes that there are areas where a fence will work. Let's go for it. Let's do everything possible to get border security. And then we can contemplate additional angles to the immigration controversy. I think that this is actually a good sign. This is the reason I nominated it for our good martini, not just to tongue-in-cheek, just observing that, look, if we were to improve our border security, if we really were to be able to have a border that was much tougher for people to come over there, we would not have a rerun of the what I was seeing on the front page of the Washington Post today, 1.4 million Mexicans moved from the United States to Mexico between 2005 and 2010, double the number who did so a decade earlier. So this is the time for border security. If we can get something done, we will not have a rerun of that. That'll be, you know, great for us. Having said that, I do think this is a vivid indicator of just how bad the economy has been under President Obama. And if it's, you know, if poor Mexican migrants are moving back to Mexico for economic opportunity, that's about as vivid an illustration of failed economic policies as you could possibly imagine.
The good news is you don't have to pass anything new. The border fence got approved. And if you really want to go back to things that were never implemented but were approved, the so-called amnesty deal that President Reagan signed back in the 80s with all sorts of border security provisions that were never implemented. So all we have to do is enforce those through our very honest and capable Justice Department and Department of Homeland Security. And so, Jim?
Oh, and stop shipping guns to the other direction.
That would help. That would definitely help. Anyway, on to the bad martini now, in case tanking our economy to the point where Mexican migrants don't want to come here anymore was the good martini. Let's move on to the conference board, which points out that consumer attitudes towards our economy, which had been creeping more positively in recent months, are now headed back in the opposite direction, or they're at least settling a little bit. The conference board says consumer attitudes edged down to 69.2 from a revised 69.5. In March, I know those numbers don't mean a lot to most people. It's kind of inside economic jargon, but look at this number here. Consumers' view of the labor market was mixed. The jobs hard to get index fell from 40.7% to 37.5%, while the jobs plentiful index also declined to 8.4% from 9%. So apparently they're surveying everyone who works for the federal government in the jobs are plentiful section there. Jim, I don't know how you look at this, but it again suggests, like we saw with the jobs numbers and some of these weekly jobless numbers, that if there was a recovery, a lot of us missed it.
Yeah, this is not catastrophic, but it really doesn't qualify as a good martini at all. And for perspective, they picked, 100 back at some point back in the 1980s. The bottom line you could say is that if it's at 100, things are cruising along pretty well. The last time it was consistently above that, probably be about 2007. It was in that range for much of the Bush years, between, I'd say, about 80 and 100. Took a dip during the beginning of the Iraq War and 9/11, obviously. Back before, you know, it was up to like the 140s or so back during the boom days of the 1990s. 07 is when it first ran into trouble. It plummeted down to about 30-something back around the end of the Bush administration, beginning of the Obama administration. So Obama could theoretically tout himself as saying, oh, great, we're back up to the 70s. But 70s is still historically pretty darn low, and that's pretty much where it's been. And as we saw last couple of months, that has been declining slightly. So basically, we're depressed, Greg. That's probably the best way of doing it. These are not encouraging numbers. I'm of the two minds, but look, obviously, you know, economic troubles make it more likely that Mitt Romney will be elected, but 4 years of economic hard times are a very high price to pay for a Republican president. It'll be kind of interesting to see the Obama administration trying to insist that their policies are succeeding in the face of numbers like these. But again, this is just a sign. Look, if consumers are not feeling good, they're not going to be buying. If they're not buying, companies aren't going to be earning money and booming profits. And if their profits aren't up, they're not going to be hiring. So the outlook for the economy is cloudy at best, and there's a lot of still remaining rattling in the engine, you could say.
And it's good to see that the Romney folks are keeping their eye on the ball here. Eric Fernstrom of Etch-A-Sketch fame over the weekend on Face the Nation saying that Obama can't run on vision. Incumbents have to run on a record, and his record is terrible. Marco Rubio saying in the last couple of days, if this election is about Obama's record, Obama loses, and that's why he'll do everything possible to distract us from it. But we'll see exactly how this plays out. Jim, I don't know if you missed this. I certainly missed this as we head to our third and crazy martini. Apparently, the war on terror is over because that's what the Obama administration said. A senior official at the State Department told the National Journal, the war on terror is over. Now that we have killed most of al-Qaeda, now that people have come to see legitimate means of expression, people who once might have gone into al-Qaeda see an opportunity for a legitimate Islamism, which is basically their way of saying we see all these radical people rising to power in Tunisia and Egypt, potentially Libya. Who knows what happens ultimately in Syria? We've got radicals in other countries that are giving us headaches. Maybe if we just move the bar on what's acceptable, this is not going to be a problem for us anymore. But I think a lot of people, particularly those currently serving in Afghanistan and looking at the numbers, unfortunately, that are coming home in body bags, would beg to differ with this. And just because they want it to be over doesn't mean it is.
I want to give the Obama administration dollops of credit where it's due. I think it's fantastic that Osama bin Laden is dead. I think it's fantastic they're continuing to do drone strikes in places like Pakistan and Afghanistan and Yemen and places like that. I'm kind of fascinated to hear an Obama administration official, even though, you know, not by name, as an anonymous source, be willing to say something as bold as the war on terror is over. Because I certainly would love to believe that al-Qaeda is finished as a serious threat to American lives, but I'm not quite convinced of that. It's nice that we live with less fear than we did right after 9/11 and for a good portion of the years after that. But let's observe that this was in a presidency where, you know, the first Christmas Obama was in the White House, somebody tried to blow up a flight from Amsterdam to Detroit, and only because the lighter fluid and the various explosives that he had in his underwear did not go off correctly, that we didn't have a much worse disaster. There was the Fort Hood shooting, the guy who was in touch with the radical imam who was American-born living out in Yemen. There was the guy who tried to blow up Times Square, which was another near miss. And I feel like there was like one or two others in there. But it's one of those things where we've had incidents of terrorism. Now, maybe the al-Qaeda has gone from a structured organization to more of a social movement. It is more dispersed. And it's, you know, wonderful to think that we have killed off their A team and their B team. And they're now down to the C, D, E, F, and, you know, below team. However, it sounds like hubris to be declaring the war on terror is over. Maybe this quote will not come back to haunt the Obama administration in the months to come. But it just very easy to imagine something going wrong somewhere in the world, God forbid, some embassy or Americans abroad or here on U.S. soil. And so if it happens, this quote will be thrown back in their faces. And I think it's perhaps a little bit unnerving that anybody could be looking at this and saying, eh, you know, fight's over, we won. I hope I'd love that to be the case. I'm just skeptical of it. And we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, I hope they're not actually called to the carpet on this, because that would mean something horrific has happened. But it does show a naivete that has unfortunately been seen throughout the Middle East and many other places on the globe as well. So We'll see how much these issues matter in the campaign, regardless of whether there's an incident or not. And like you said, Jim, in so many words, kind of a reckless statement coming from the State Department. On that note, we'll leave it there for today and pick it up tomorrow. Jim, have a great day.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.